few that hears truth. First funeral I've ever preached, it probably either was mostly religious or no affiliation with God at all. Realization is people really believe that, and it was spoken by one gentleman that when he stopped speaking, he said, you know, me and Jesus and this gentleman would sit down and have a beer together in heaven. Somehow there's a realization that we think that life carries on like it does when we breathe our last and we stand before Almighty God, that there's no aspect of fear or judgment or grace or mercy. It's just that life continues on as one big party up there. And sad to say, that's how most people are living their life. And the sad thing is that religion, it's worse to be stuck in religion, because religion, there may be no escape for you because you have been convinced and deceived that you're okay with God. Let's have a word of prayer, and then let's look into God's word, and may he shed more light upon our lives. Dear Heavenly Father God, again, we are in awe of who you are. Thank you for giving us your word. For first of all, we know that the word was with you, and the word became flesh, and the word then became written. Father, we pray now that you would speak to us, that my words would be your words, and that, Father, that you would take these words and use them respectably in those that hear. Father, you know what each life needs. I don't. And Father, just your word does not come back void, and we have to trust that, for it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. You see, one revelation I was given as I was preparing for the funeral was that all the religions are no different than in the biblical times when they were worshiping molten calves and graven images. See, it allowed them to create a God that they could see and touch and actually bow down to, but of course it was no God at all. Religion is the same way. It allows us to create a God that we will serve. So when you get into all the denominations, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Muslims, I don't know how many different religions there are now, but there are just a multitude of religions, and they are all false gods. And they lead to the same road, and that is separation from the true God. And when people embrace that in their life to get through life, then Christianity is a crutch. You see, Christianity has become a religion. It's the major religion that people hold on to. And that religion tells us that everyone is going to heaven. And I'm here today to tell you, not everyone is going to heaven. Just because you took your kids to church doesn't mean they're going to heaven. You understand? If they're not born again, they're not going to heaven. I don't care how many good things people say about you or say about them. They are not in heaven if they are not born again. And that is the crux of the truth. It's nice that people say nice things about us when we're dead, but it doesn't get us to heaven. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit on our lives that convicts us of our sins. And then we receive the Holy Spirit and we walk in this life as a light for him. That is the purpose of salvation, is that we are reconciled back to a holy God. You know, there's a song that I heard that they want to kick the church out. They want to kick me out of this church, but you can't take the church out of me. Well, they need to take the church out of her, because it's him that's in me that matters. Okay, and again, it's not the church. You are the church. And again, you listen, and how many times that we fall back into, well, I'm going to go to church. Well, I hope you're not coming to church. We've said this before. I hope you're coming to worship. If I go to Walmart and I don't shop, I'm not a shopper, am I? I just go to Walmart, right? And if I don't do anything in Walmart, then I'm just, what am I? You see, if you just come to this place and sit and do nothing, well, maybe you're coming to the church. But if you are the church, you come here to worship. And that's what we have to understand, as we use these religious terms because we've grown up with them and they're so accustomed to our mind and our ears that we now need to start listening to the Holy Spirit and allow him to tell us and to define things properly in life. If you do not define them for people that are around you, it's going to be just like this, that they're going to die and go to hell. And if that doesn't bother you, I have never been more disturbed in leaving a funeral than I was at that funeral about the lives that were so misled and so deceived, thinking that everything was okay with their lives when it's not. If you've got your Bibles this morning, let's go to Proverbs 19. And we begin in verse 19. It says, a man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. So basically, the principle here is not just about the angry man, but it's about the nature of man. And if I rescue him, and if I come alongside him and give him religion, or give him something to bank on, or just kind of say, hey, you know, we're gonna work on this together, and we get you to turn over a new leaf, the scripture says you're just going to have to rescue him again, and again, and again, and again. Okay? And this is what religion does. It allows you to go in and out, in and out, in and out, with that plain lie of that I'm going to heaven no matter what. Doesn't matter what I do, how I live, if I have any godly sorrow. It doesn't talk about repentance. It just talks about me going to heaven. And so it's in and out. I have this good period of my life where I'm kind of walking with the Lord, what I consider walking, what the world considers walking with the Lord. But it's not walking with the Lord at all. So understand that a dog returns to his own vomit. You know what? If it's a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's got feathers like a duck, guess what it probably is? This isn't hard. It's probably a duck. And these religious people that run around proclaiming to be God children and proclaiming, but yet they live their lives total contrary to who God is and no truth in their life at all. Matter of fact, I read in 1 John, it said that you say you have fellowship with God, but you don't keep my commandments. You lie. You're a liar. And yet religion comes along and says, no, you're not a liar. You're just, no. You know what a liar is? Someone that doesn't know truth and tell truth and doesn't live truth. And God says we don't keep his commandments, we're liars. And we can't rescue these people. If you're not bringing them truth, if you don't have a spiritual purpose in the lives of people that are around, God gives you the opportunity. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to stand up there knowing that the majority of these people here probably don't have even seen what truth is, and you have to present truth to them in a loving manner, knowing that they think it's going to be foolishness. But yet they still heard truth. Listen to counsel. Listen to counsel and accept discipline. God disciplines those that he loves. And if you can live a life contrary to the word of God and you're not being disciplined, you are an illegitimate child. You're not his child. You're the child of Satan, who you always has been. You're born with the nature of God. You have one father, and that father is the father and the prince of this world, and that is Satan himself. If you're not being disciplined and you can go out and live contrary to the word of God, you better be searching and say, God, how come I can live contrary to your word and you're not disciplining me? If I'm not being disciplined, that's probably a real good revelation there that you're not his child, because God disciplines those whom he loves. It says, and here's why. Listen to the counsel, accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Where does wisdom come from? Experience in life? No, that's worldly wisdom. God says worldly wisdom is foolishness. Matter of fact, it says the most foolish thing of God is wiser than anything man can come up with. That you may be wise, wisdom is, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. See, in verse 20 it says, many plans are in a man's heart, but only the counsel of the Lord will stand. If your counsel is not from the word of God, and if you're not giving counsel to those that are hurting and that those are seeking, and it may be a difficult counsel. It may be, you know, this is the just due of the choices you have made in life. You see, we believe God forgives everything, and that's only partly true, because God forgave all sin. But he holds consequences. And there are consequences to our decisions in life. Yet, we're all going to heaven, so who cares what the consequences are, right? See what religion does? In verse 22, it says, "What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it's better to be a poor man than a liar." What do we put so much emphasis on in this world today? What we have, what we're going to build, right? Huh? That's what we're after, is what we're going to build and what we have. God says it'd be better to be a poor man than a liar. Someone not keeping his commandments. We already just defined what a liar was. Someone out there that's proclaiming the name of God but doesn't even have a clue what his commandments are, or any desire to keep them. And it's not just desire to keep them. God doesn't go, look, oh, well, he meant to. No, he gave you the Holy Spirit. And if you're not using the Holy Spirit in your life to keep the commandments, then you're just as bad as not knowing the commandments and not keeping the commandments. Well, why did he give you all these, use these tools? He gave you the Word of God. He gave the Holy Spirit. And yet we continue to walk contrary to God's Word. Because we want that religious God that says, I can have my life, have everything on this world, make sure that my kids get everything that I didn't have. Wow. Maybe you should give them what you do have if you have the Word of God, and maybe let God take the rest of that. I think as a parent, that's your ultimate responsibility, is to make sure that they are raised up in the fear of God. Not soccer games. Not everything this world can give them is good. Two 20-year-olds that shot themselves in Versailles this week. Wow. Think about that. They reach a point in their life where religion tells them, hey, you're just going to heaven, going to a better place. You'll just dance around with your grandfather and your grandmother. And do you understand that heaven is about God? And when you come into the presence of Almighty God, you're going to care who less else is there? If God's not opening his arms to welcome you, but your grandfather, your grandmother is, there's something wrong. You're in the wrong heaven. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm trying to be truthful in the fact that everybody says, oh, we're going to have a big party when we get up there. If God doesn't mean any more to you than that, you see, if he doesn't say, well done, my good and faithful servant, nothing else matters. But religion has made everything else matter that's not true. It's better to be poor and not have anything and be righteous than to have what the world has to offer. And then it goes on to say in verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. There was no fear. There was no fear at all in the death of their friends. This friend, 38-year-old man, there was no fear. Because you see, lie had taken away fear. Lie told them that they'd have a beer with Jesus in heaven. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We don't fear God anymore. We've allowed religion to come in and take the fear away. It comforts everyone. It gives them what they want. It lets them hear what they want so they can get through life. Everything is going to be okay. I tell you what, folks, things aren't okay. Things aren't okay today more than they've never been not okay. Our country is not okay. Our world is not okay. They can stand up there and say it's going to be all right, and it's not all right. And if you want to live with your head in the sand instead of your heart in the truth, you're going to have a difficult time getting through what's getting ready to happen in this world. So that the one may sleep satisfied. Do you sleep satisfied? Are you satisfied? Untouched by evil? Wow. And if you read the rest of that, it's pretty amazing. But we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 5 through 14. Listen to this. Make sure. It didn't say just, you know, be free from it. It says, make sure your character is free from the love of money. Well, now we have to define how do we make sure. It's amazing what we can't go without, isn't it? It's amazing what we've defined what are the needs. Do you know God has not changed the definition of a need for a person? But we have. Huh? We got to have that. We got to have it. You know, gas, you know what gas prices are now? Have anybody filled up their gas tank lately? Have anybody been to the grocery store and seen the shortage in the food? And there's going to be more of that. God's going to force you to do without what you think is what you need. That's what's getting ready to happen. And as your pastor, I'm to prepare you for that. And if you don't begin to work on it now, you're going to be the most miserable and difficult time when that happens. You think about it. You're going to have to make choices on where you spend your money. Soccer games are going to be out. You can't afford the uniforms. Can't afford to travel. Can't afford to travel up to Cincinnati and all those places to play those sports games. What are you going to do without? God is going to force this issue on us in the time that we live. And you better grab hold of this concept now. Well, no, I'm entitled to this. I work hard. God doesn't care how hard you work. He said, if you got food and clothing and shelter, then I've met your needs. What? God, no cell phone? God, what are you talking about? God, see, God hasn't... The problem with God, the true God, is he hasn't kept pace with us in our technology. And he doesn't know how useful a cell phone is. He don't know what it's like to be able to sit across from people and text instead of talk. They're in the same room and they'll text each other instead of talk. See, God just needs to get... If we're going to create a God, we got to create this God that works with what we need. You see, we need 6 pairs of shoes in the house. Because if one's broken, but George, we'll change our whole stinking outfit. I really don't care what... My wife's the only one that puts me together and cares. You know, I really don't care. What I care is my character is true. That's what I care about. I don't care about the external. I care about the internal. And the church of God, you better start caring about the internal, because the external is about to change. I'm not worried about Putin pressing that nuclear button. That's not going to destroy the world. How do I know that? How do I know that that's not going to destroy the world? Because God said he's going to come. He's going to reign 1,000 years before the world is destroyed. And he's going to burn it up with intense heat, not the Russian president. But yet we live in a world that's fearful and will not stop this idiot, because we fear him more than we fear God. We fear the coronavirus more than we fear God. See, the body says, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the body and the soul. Make sure your character is free from the love of money. Don't let that drive you. Don't let make that give you and sacrifice the internal for the external. How much time are you spending in making money, and how much time do you spend on the internal? See, I understand that God takes care of the external if we make sure the internal's right. Why do you want to become a slave to money? See, God said he frees us from sin. He didn't say money was the root of all evil, did he? Let's make sure we get this right. It's the what? The love of money. And then he goes on to say what? You can't serve two masters, because you'll love the one and hate the other. You know which one you're going to hate? It's not the money one. Huh? You're going to hate God, because God's not fulfilling your plans and your desires. See, what kind of a statement does it make when you tell your kids that, no, we're not playing on Sunday morning. We're going to worship. Come on, I'm not being legalistic here. I'm telling you truth, but what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching your kids you can pick and choose when you worship God, not when you worship God when God told you to. Do you understand? Does that make sense? We're confusing our children. And then they raise up and they take their own lives and they never step foot back in church because we're confusing them. We'll pick and choose where God is in our life instead of him being first in our life. And then let our life trickle down with truth. What a sad situation. I'm just going to tell you, it's okay to miss a Sunday soccer game. I promise you, your kids are not going to suffer. I promise you, they're not going to be any better whether they play that Sunday game or not. They either stink or they don't, okay? And I'm just using that as an example because that's what we dealt with. It shows how important things are. But see, here's where religion comes in and says, well, it's okay to miss that worship, but as long as you go on a mission trip. As long as you sacrifice something for God, then you're okay. Right? As long as I do something for God, it doesn't matter what I do. I'll show up when I want to. It's not a priority in my life. My quiet time with the Lord. You know what? Everything else. Why do you not do your quiet time? Why do you not start it early in the morning and start your day off with God's Word? What excuse can you give that is valid? And then you want to know why your life and the troubles you're having. Folks, don't blame God. Don't blame God for your misery. It's time to stop blaming God and look to who the problem is, and it's you and it's me. God has nothing to answer for. He wrote it all down. He did it all for us. He sent his son to die on a cross so that you and I could be reconciled back to him. And then he left us with a helper, the Holy Spirit, that would convict our lives, not invite us. See, this is the weird stuff. Check out things that you've been taught. Show me where God invites you to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I want one person to show me in Scripture, stand up and show me this lie in Scripture. He doesn't invite you, he convicts you. The Holy Spirit, that's what he told him. He says, I'm going to leave you a helper. And it's the helper's responsibility to convict the world of their sin. He's the only one who has a right to convict someone of their sin. You realize that. I play golf with folks that get drunk. They will never take me on a golf trip, though. But play with them, they get drunk. Should I say, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's bad for you. No, it's none of my business. Why in the world do you think, and God doesn't do this, do you think God forces the righteous life on anyone? But yet the church somehow deems himself superior to everybody, and then that we need to force our life and our convictions on everybody else around us. And God doesn't do that, but the church has decided they needed to do that. And yet, you won't look at your own sin. You won't look at how you raised your kids. You won't look at how you put God second, third, fourth, and tenth, or whatever he fit in place. See, we refuse to look at ourselves. We want to look at everybody else. It's time to come to truth. And it says, first, for the household of God. Religion leaves you empty and shattered. I told him it's kind of like when the roof leaks, you know? When is that a problem? When is the only time your leaky roof is a problem? When it rains. So why is it the only time eternity is a problem when someone dies and then we have to make up lies to make everybody feel good? Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now this isn't a blanket. This is a promise for those kids that have the right heart, that's approaching God with the right spirit. He's talking about his children. People use this verse for everybody. You realize that? Oh, don't worry about it. God never deserts you. God never forsake you. I can read in the Old Testament 10 times at least where God says, I'm going to forsake you if you don't do what I say. Jesus said, I'll be your friend if you do what I say. I'm not your friend if you don't do what I say. Matter of fact, I am your enemy, because what the problem is, I'm going to come and I'm going to judge you, and you're going to be thrown into a place where there's torment forever. Doesn't sound like much of a friend, does it? We don't make Jesus our friend because we want him to be our friend, nor do we put people in heaven because we want them there. You see, no one wants to come to this church or stay because there's no truth. If they come, they don't stay very long. We have no programs for our kids. Tell you what, I got the only program for your kid. But see, we want them to socialize. We want them to fellowship. We want to make this exactly like any other social institution that they belong to. So what? You don't have any friends here. You're learning about God. So now you have to decide what's more important, your friends or and your mission trips and all that garbage that these churches are teaching out there, or truth. But I don't like that. I don't fit in there. Well, it's because you're not saved, probably. Holy Spirit is the one that holds you here. The Holy Spirit is the one that gets you excited about the Word of God. See, that's why I don't have to come up with fancy titles. I don't have to come up with clever speeches or jokes. I don't have to come up with something new every week. I don't have to come up with something. I don't have to have a committee of men around me. Well, how can we excite the people today? But your churches do. See, if it's not giving them people a feeling of well-being, that's what these churches do. That's what religion does, is give you a feeling of well-being. Look what I'm doing. And then we say, look what God's doing for me. No, God's changing your character. God only uses his truth to teach you and to hold you and to sustain you. It's through truth. You know, what I have found out in reality is that most people don't want truth. They want me to lie to them and tell them that they're okay. Can't do that. Can't do that. If you've not been born again, and the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, you're not. I don't care who's told you. I don't care who says good things about you. I don't care what fuzzy feeling you have. I don't care what religious experience you have. I don't care what you're doing to convince yourself that you're a child of God. If you're not in the Scripture and the Word of God, and he's saying, you're my child, and you've not heard that, then you're not a child of God. You're religious, and you'll stand before him, and he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You better check it out. Because when you stand before him, it's too late, and he's not a God of second chances when you stand before him. Those people that were casting out demons and prophesying in his name thought they were okay because they were doing something for God, but they never let God do something for them. Open it up. Ask him, God, am I your child? God, do I belong to you? God, will you open my eyes and my ears and let me know? But see, people want to hang on to that prayer they had or that some little experience they had instead of challenging it with truth. God doesn't want to see anyone. His holiness directs his love. Listen to me. His holiness is what directs his love. His love does not dictate his holiness. He has to say, depart from me, I never knew you, if you do not receive the Spirit of God that he is offering. And if you don't ever read, you'll never hear. You never hear, you'll never receive. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear without the ambassadors? When you're put in that situation, you still have to say tell truth. And you're going to make a lot of people mad. Religious people get very defensive. How do I know? I read about them. I read about them. A child of God receives instruction and discipline to gain knowledge and wisdom.